I was about 15 or 16 years old. We discovered a new camping spot. In fact, it's out on the backside of Georgetown where the Hall Brothers Hunting Club was. A place where they had cut a canal through there. In fact, you look at it from the air, you look at a map, and you see those very straight canals that those were dug for rice. They were they tried rice paddies early in the colony here. Well, we discovered this great camping spot. We called it the sand mill because it was an old, it was a place where they pumped sand out back in the 30s. In fact, the structure was still there. But to get to it, and for a bunch of boys, this was a great playhouse. You would tie a rope on to the top of it with a pull in and ride it down, you know, like a, that's a very sore subject with a few people. At the Paskowskis household. Too bad the rest of them aren't here to enjoy that today. But you had to cross this little canal, and there was a log that went across. We were it was wintertime, and a bunch of us were going back there camping. We'd talked my dad into taking us back there. And one of the guys that went ahead, he was walking across on the log, and he slipped and fell. 35 degrees outside. He's soaking wet in the water. I'm laughing at him. That's the funniest thing in the world. And I'm thinking, man, what an idiot to fall. I mean, it is so easy to walk across there. Then it was my turn. I had a lantern. I had my pack. I had the stove in one hand. And I'm walking across that thing. But that day, I decided to get a pair of my dad's old boots. They were rubber boots. They were slick on the bottom. Well, the splash of the water from the guy that went before me had wet the log. I got about halfway across, and then zippity-doo-dah, Dusty was soaking wet. And I'm coming up out of the water, and I'm thinking, now I'm an idiot. I thought about that. I've been thinking about it ever since the Lord gave us this message series, which the title of it is Wise in Your Own Eyes. That day, I truly was wise in my own eyes. Now, our key verse for this whole series, and I'm just doing the introductory message today. For the next several weeks, we're going to talk about things like communication, conflict management, respect, listening to one another, time management, all these things, these practical things in the Christian life. But today I'm going to introduce to you, every week we're going to go back and thread this A part of Proverbs 3:7 through the message. Do not be wise in your own eyes. But let me read the passage from the context. And John, could you turn me up just a little bit? I'm going to have to try to preserve my voice. I know y'all thinking he went to the Georgia game and screamed and hollered yesterday, but I didn't scream hardly any. It was Audrey that was doing that. All right, this is from the New American Standard, beginning in verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture, at least part of it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I think you can see from that passage how many times this larger passage is quoted in the New Testament. Let's pray together. Lord, now I'm asking You to speak to our hearts today. Open Your Word. May we hear Your voice. Lord, I ask You today that You would hide Dusty. And Lord, that we could listen just to Your voice. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. It's easy to live your life your way, isn't it? In fact, as the writer of the Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Easiest thing in the world is to do it your way, is to have it your way, right? You watch toddlers in a room, and you hear one verse replayed over and over again from the same song, and it's the word mine, 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 right? But I want to ask you, is it any different for adults when it comes right down to it? The easiest thing in the world is to have your own way. Years ago, and I don't remember which one of the children it was, of our three children, but I was supposed to be talking to them and disciplining them. Audrey and I had talked about it. There was a little situation going on with one of the kids, and I was supposed to be the one who was going to take the lead and talk to them. Well, we got through with our talk, and child walked away, and Audrey's looking at me and said, well, they didn't seem like they were too upset about what you said. She said, what exactly did you say in this talk that you were supposed to be having with our child? And I said, well, I went back through it. He said, you didn't address any of the issues we talked about. No wonder. They're getting their own way. That's the easiest thing in the world today, is to live life your way. The Lord is saying here, trust in Him begins with putting ourselves aside and choosing Him and His agenda. Secondly, God wants us, Jesus wants us, to trust Him with our whole life. Now, how much is that? How much of our lives is our whole life? And yet, in most Western Christians' minds, trusting God with your life, it's said that way, but then it's heard, well, that means once a week I get up, I go to church, I tip God, I put a little something in the offering plate, and I walk away the rest of the week. I gave God His due, and then the rest of it is for me to do as I please. Right? Isn't that how most Christians in the West think? That's the holy day. I did the holy thing on the holy day, and because of that, now I can expect the blessing of God. I can do what I like with the rest of my life. There's only one problem with that. It's wrong. Nowhere does He say that, because all of our life belongs to Him. He wants us to trust Him with our whole life. It assumes that we know where we're going. Now, some of the married women in here, would you raise your hand, married women, here? How many times have you had this discussion in an automobile before we had a GPS? When the person at the wheel said, I know where I'm going, And I don't need you to help tell me. But okay. Yeah. You're not a woman, Jim. I mean, check, but I don't think you are. That idea that, okay, I got that, and we may stop for directions. I've done that before. I did it yesterday. We're in Athens, and the GPS really wasn't helping us. And Audrey and I were feeling, I said, I'm just going to call Brandon. And she said, we can't admit that to him. We can't let him know that we're so idiotic that we can't use the GPS in the city of Athens and get around. And thank God we made it through. But what we found out was that not only do you need directions at the beginning, you need them at the end too. We lost our car. We're walking back from the stadium and said, wait a second. Someone ate those breadcrumbs that we left. We can't find some of you kids, you don't know what I'm talking about, to ask your grandparents later on. They ate the breadcrumbs. We don't find our way. Finally, we got back. Oh, we recognize this. You see, God wants us to help us, not with just the beginning, not with the end, but the middle too. Everything about us. Our whole life. Number three. Our propensity is to wander and to hold back. God shows us the way, and then, now here's what, when I was growing up, my mother would give me some money. She'd say, there was a little store down the corner. She'd say, I want you to go to the store, get this, and come, what's the next word? Straight. That's the word. That's the word I want you to hear. Straight back home. Because she knew in her heart, what would I tend to want to do? I want to take a side trip. Hey, listen, there was money left over from what she gave me. She'll never know. Think of this, though. We want to want, as adults we do, we want to wander and we want to hold back. When God says He wants all of us, everything we are and have, what's our tendency? But you know, God, I'm going to hold a little bit back over here just in case I can't trust you. What does that indicate about our relationship with God? We don't trust you. Number four, as we work our way through this passage. That's why we're wise in our own eyes. We think we have all the knowledge. Now, I want to explain something to you. I want you to hang in here with me. Listen closely. We talked about this in our prayer group. I want you to understand a difference about something. I'm going to explain to you the difference between deductive decision-making and inductive decision-making. Okay? Not a complicated concept. I want you to see the power of the Holy Spirit in that. A deductive decision means you've taken all the data that you have at your disposal. The cumulative of your experience, those around you, what would be the wisdom of the day, and you deduce an opinion about that, and that's what you do. The problem is, that's not how God works. Because there's another way of going about it. It's called inductive. Where, yes, you look at those things, but there is a power, there is a strength, there's a wisdom that comes from elsewhere, outside of ourselves. In this case, it's God who speaks to us. And though I reason things through and I come down to a decision, and it may be, this is the perfect person for you. How many of you have had someone describe to you, you married folks, and maybe some of you that are dating now, young people that are dating now, oh, this is the perfect person for you. And you look at that and you say, absolutely not. And you say, well, on what basis do you make that opinion? This person, they've got this, this, this. Surely, you see, it's a deductive decision that comes about. Thank God in my life, that's not the way I went about picking a wife and a wife picking me. Because surely God put me and Miss Audrey together. 42 years together. What a blessing. That time together. Not perfect. But God put us together because He knew things we didn't know. You see, that's the thing about this idea about deducing something from your... When you're wise in your own eyes, that means you think, well, if God will just give me a little bit more information, then I can make the decision and I can take it from here. Wrong. We continue to need His leadership because He sees things out there that we can't see. And He's preparing us for those things. Number five. The Scripture, this passage, talks about turning away from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. What does that mean? It means to turn away from evil. It means if evil's here, we do a 180 and go the other way. But what's our propensity again? God's showing us a straight path and a non-wandering path, and we think, well, I'll just go over here and play with this a while. Now, let me give you a very practical example of this that y'all see on the internet all the time. Google is tracking you. You know that. Every other entity where you give them information about yourself, what are they doing? They're tracking you. You go and look at something at Amazon. And I wondered, and then 2 days later, there it is on the ad side of my page there. Well, there's that thing. How did they know that? You idiot. You went out there. You've given them access to your information. They know what to put there. Let me tell you, if you're a male, I don't know how the females think. I don't know how females think. I am spending my lifetime exploring that process and to know, and it's not boring. It's a wonderful experience. But you guys, I know how you think. What do you think that they're going to put on your web page that's going to be there easy for you to click on? Pictures. And pictures of what? Or pictures of whom, I should say. They know what they're doing. So what do you have to do? In that case, you've got to turn away. You can't start that process. I've told you all this before about my dad. My dad, when he first got onto the internet, he used a mouse like Leonard Bernstein, great conductor, used a baton leading the orchestra. Click, 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 click. And then he calls me up and he says, son, I want you to look at my computer. How did I get all this stuff? I said, Dad, you can't click on it. Let me say to all of you today, all of us, you can't click on it. You can't click on evil just a little bit. You got to draw some line. You got to stop. Stop with that. There's some guys here today that are struggling with pornography. And I tell you, first thing you need to do is you need to put some software on your computer where you're accountable to someone else for where you go in the quiet moments when no one else is watching you. And I assume that's right for the ladies too in a different way, but I don't know how you think. But for the guys, I know that's true for you because it's true for me. Now, what's the result? Number six, if we turn away from evil, Here's the result. He says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You see, the restoration will be on the outside. Here's your flesh. He'll restore you on the outside. But he's also going to build you up. He's going to bring refreshment on the inside. It's both and. Do you see the outside and the inside version of this? That when you do this, God's promise, he's going to make you a better man. He's going to make you a better woman. He's going to make you a better husband. He's going to make you a better wife, a better child, a better father, a better mother. There'll be restoration because then you'll be looking to him for your direction, the architect of the universe, the one who struck you in his own image, this one who'll come and he will help you live life. It doesn't have to be a hellhole. It doesn't have to be all this stuff, victim of circumstances. God has called us to live in the circumstances and to see his power applied to the circumstances so the circumstances become his access point to see others come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those things are problems then become the places where God can come and speak and move and work, and we can see, as we talked about in prayer today, we can see signs and wonders. We can see the power of God operative in a powerful way. That makes sense. The result, restoration, inside, outside, number 7. And what does he say here? What is the next verse? Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now I want you to see this here. Now he uses our wealth as a primary example of what he's been teaching. He takes this out as an example. And first and foremost, this means your money. But it means more than your money because it means all that you have access to. All of your wealth. What does he say? Honor the Lord. There he uses his covenant name, Yahweh, from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So, number 7, you be obedient to God, wealth is going to come. Don't go out of here and say that Dusty said today, if I'm obedient to God, money's just going to drop into my bank account. He says wealth will come. The assumption in that passage is the wealth. Because you see, when you get in line, get this process now. Get this process. When you get your life in line with him, then we start operating by his principles of how to live your life, how to use your wealth, how to use your money, how to live. But he's striking at this because he knows, right? The Proverbs knows that this is a sore spot. I've said many times, show me a person's bank book and their calendar book, and I'll tell you who they serve. It's simple. Here's an example. He's using wealth in that way. Number 8, he will then expect to be first. Now, how much of what you have today, said, well, I work this job and all, and I get this money. I get it. But let me ask you this. Who gave you the job? Who allowed you to live in this Western country? Who allowed you to live in Georgia? Who gave you the help that you have to work that job? Who gave you the brain that you have? Got the picture? See, all of it belongs to him. Everything about it. Everything put in our hands. It is his. And what he's saying here in his passage, with that wealth, he says, and from the first of your produce, you give to the Lord. Now I want you to hear Priscilla say it, but she gave me permission to say this, but I want her to give that testimony right here. But she said God spoke to her, she and David, about this a couple of weeks ago. By the way, I'm assuming y'all are praying for them, and the Lord has blessed them wonderfully. And I think she's, 20th in the world now amongst women her age. What a blessing. She was weeping back there a couple of weeks ago. And she came to me and she said, Dusty, David and I were giving after we paid everything. She said, today the Lord showed me I give to God first. Whew. What a flip. That's what the Word says. Number 9. Then what does he say? Honor the Lord with all your wealth from the first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. Some of us sitting here have had the idea that God is this ogre in heaven. He doesn't want to bless us financially. He doesn't want to do... I'm here to tell you, God wants to see you prosper. He wants to see the righteous prosper in every way. He wants to bless us. And what I'm saying to you is, we got to get out of His way so He can do that. And it comes by first trusting Him. And that's what a tithe is. A tithe is you give Him first. He goes on. Verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. Paul would quote, or excuse me, not Paul, whoever the writer, some of you think it might have been Paul that wrote the letter to the Hebrews. Quotes that passage about discipline, that God does bring discipline to us. You see, we need to get our lives in line, not asking God to bless our agenda, but begin to adjust our lives so that we begin to do what God is blessing. Well, back when I was playing baseball, I did pitch a little bit. I was mostly a shortstop and a catcher. I never had the arm never had the velocity to pitch. But I was pitching one day, and we were playing Calvary's team. I was probably about 12, 13 years old. I'd watched this guy earlier during the game, and the pitcher that was in the game before me, every time he threw this guy a fastball, I mean, he was all over it. I mean, he was cranked and whap. But every time he got a breaking ball, the guy was like this. Guess what? I didn't have much of one, but all he got from Brother Dusty was breaking ball. Because you see, I knew what he was going to do with a fastball. It was plain. But I knew he couldn't handle it. That's all he got. I adopted and adapted, though I didn't have a good curveball, I adapted my life to what I knew was going to get the results. In this case, what I'm saying to you about God is we start by giving God our lives first and then fit everything else. Let Him direct us. Once we do that with our wealth, every part of our lives, then He will come with His blessing, because then we're coming in agreement with Him and we're saying, Lord, You're Lord of all of it. Number 10, finally. You see, the discipline that He brings, that the writer of Proverbs talks about, this discipline, this reproof, comes from the Lord. Let me stop here a minute. All you parents, why do you discipline your children? Do you discipline them? Did you believe this when your mother, your dad told you this when you were a little child? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Did you believe that then? As an adult now, do you believe that? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And there's something worse than as a parent having to administer discipline. It's a grandparent having to watch their children administer discipline to their grandchildren. That's not right. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Should never have to do that. You should never have to watch that. And I can see why grandparents go crazy. But because that's not right, He didn't mean to do that. You don't have to live with Him every day. I can't
You know, you sugar them up all day. Yeah, man. And then they come to get them and they go home and they're all night long, you know. But we didn't have, we just had the joy of having them with us. You know, they were happy. Man, give him some more sweets, you know. Man, work over that Coca-Cola. It's got, you know, a teaspoon of sugar for every ounce that's in there. Yeah, that's right. Can you see it, though? When God brings discipline, it is out of His love. It's out of His deep, heartfelt love for us. We can be wise in our own eyes, but I want to ask you a question. How's that working out for you? Are you experiencing the unbridled blessing of God in your life? The answer to that for all of us is no, because we've all got work to do, don't we? I'm asking you today. I'm asking you to begin where He begins. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him with all of it. Take Him at His word and allow Him to work to move. That great question, what if? What? When I was in high school, I had a teacher the chemistry teacher that, well, I won't get into a lot of details about her life, but she was a bird. I mean, she was something else. But I had decided that this woman could not teach me anything. And I want to let you know that I made the lowest grades of my entire, all my academic career, everything whatsoever in that class because I gave up. But I did listen to her about one thing. And this comes to me today because it's an example about being wise in your own eyes. I thought I knew more than she did. Truth was, I was being an idiot. She taught me how to use a slide rule. Slide rule? Who doesn't know what a slide rule is? All right. This is a calculator. I should have brought it in here because I reclaimed one. It had a little slide in it, and you could do all sorts of scientific calculations on it. It's a little device. She taught me how to use that. Now, my brother, the reason why I bring this up is my brother, this past week, we were talking about our father and having a few laughs at his expense. And there's a great equalization that comes. I want you to know the older you get. And Vic said to me, remember the time you whipped out the slide rule on Dad? I said, no, I don't remember what she said. Remember Dad was doing that job. He came in to you and said, Dust, will you figure this? And do all the tables for me. He said, he's working on a lift station over, a water lift station over in Hilton Head, South Carolina. He's trying to figure some complicated things of how you're going to move so much water over this amount of time and raise it so many feet to get it to where it could be delivered. All those things were going on. I took my handy slide rule and I went back to my room. I came back 30 minutes later. It was a complicated equation. I came back 30 minutes later. And I gave him the answer. I said, here it is, Dad. Dad looked at it and said, there's no way. There's no way. That's wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. 6 years later, after I was married and through college, we're at dinner one day. I was in seminary at the time. He said, son, remember that day you figured that thing on the slide rule? He said, this 6 years coming. You were right. But guess what? Yes, I was right. But guess who taught me how to use the slide rule? That idiot teacher that I had. That I thought knew nothing and couldn't teach me anything. I want to ask you today, isn't it time to stop wallowing around with your own knowledge about stuff and start by trusting God and trusting what He wants to bring to you instead of grousing about it. Let Him teach you. And that begins by trusting the Lord, because in that you're trusting Him with what? And then all the other decisions of your life will come out of that. I wish I could say that I had been obedient on everything in my life. But I do remember one good thing years ago when Logan was just a little fellow. He got very sick when he was thrown up and all that. And Audrey and I trying to comfort him and do things. And so we're in his room. He was about 4 or 5 years. And he looked up at me. Whew, I wish I could go back and undo all the other stuff that I've done. But that was a good one. Trust the Lord with all your staying, all your ways acknowledged. Are you wise? Isn't it time for your life? One prophecy here for you. Prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. Here's something I believe in. I believe God wants to bless this church as a part of a larger church in Savannah, because I believe He wants to bless the church in Savannah. But God hadn't given us responsibility for all the church in Savannah. I don't want to stand in the way. I'm inviting you to join us as the body of Christ and see what God through our church. In a moment, the altar is going to be open. We'll be here to pray with you. But let's pray right now. Lord, I've prayed this prayer many times, but I'm asking you today, if there's anything that I've said today that is not part of your will, your plan, your truth, I ask you to strike it down right now. Strike it from our memories, that we'll not even think about it again after we leave here. But Lord, on the other hand, everything that I've said today that's part of your will and purpose, that's part of your plan, that's part of you working in our lives, I'm asking you that you will grow that word in our heart. Come, Lord, now and speak and work. May we respond as we open this altar and invite the Holy Spirit to come now. Lord, as we lay out our lives before, Lord, I'm praying for some that are hurting today, some whose marriages are having challenges right now, for financial difficulties, for worries about children, about grandchildren, about parents. Lord, worries. Lord, we're putting it all before you and saying, come, Holy Spirit, come right now in the name of Jesus. The altar's open. Lord, we gave you this word before you. We asked you to pray last week. We had a group. How many of y'all went to the park last week to help with the kiddos? God bless you. It was a great time out there, group had, and it was a blessing, an investment in the kingdom. Look forward to many, many more of those out there. I want to pray for you as we go and send you out. Are you excited? Woo! I mean, what's God got in store for you right out those doors? And I thought that was a munchkin peeking over the, oh no, it's Stephanie that was peeking over that through the window there. All right, let me pray and send us out. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. We pray now, Lord, you'll send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Lord Jesus, the authority of God the Father. In your name. Amen.